Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Happy Mother's Day to all of our moms. I normally like to open up a little bit with a little bit something funny, and I read this just a couple of days ago, and I thought I'd read it to you. Obviously having to do with what it is to be a mom. James Dobson tells a story of a mother, he says, who was sick in bed with the flu. And her little daughter wanted so much to be a good nurse. She brought mom an extra pillow and a magazine to read. She even showed up with a surprise cup of tea. How special is that? And her mother took a sip and said, I didn't know that you knew how to make tea, baby. And the girl said, oh, yes, Mom, I learned from watching you in the kitchen. I put some water in the pot, and I put the tea leaves in to boil with the water, and I strained it into a cup. But I couldn't find a strainer, so I used the fly swatter instead. And her mother said, you what? She said, oh, don't worry, Mom, I didn't use the new one. I bet every mom in this house has a story like that to tell about their children and even their husbands. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you this morning. I'm going to try again. Hope this is normally a false promise I make, but to be not too long this morning, just to give you a word of encouragement and encourage every one of our moms in this place. I want you to know, and I say this every year for the past 30 some odd years that we've been together, that this is probably one of the most difficult services that I have to officiate in ministry. It goes beyond my capabilities of being able to express the thankfulness that we have in our hearts for our moms. I mean, the fact remains, and I say this all the time, how do you justify or say something that's worthwhile to the vessel that God used to bring you into this world? How special is that? There is no man ever born without a mother, of course, except Adam. But we give you all the value that we can, and therefore, please forgive me if I stutter a little bit or I seem a little nervous, because I've never been nervous to preach a service except on Mother's Day. I need to make sure that I say everything right, if you know what I mean. In the scripture, there are great portraits of motherhood. Let me give you some example. I love the picture of Moses' mom, who cared so much for her son that she broke the law of the day in order to save his life. And there was a murderous bounty on every firstborn during the times of Pharaoh. And this woman, regardless of what she was going to face, even to face the threat of losing her own life, would choose to do everything and anything she could to spare the life of her son. And so we know the story that she came down to the Nile and she cast this little baby off in a basket, which is very symbolic of a mother casting off her child in the very arms of God. And of course we know the great man that Moses became and whom we look to for many lessons in life. We read of a story in the times of King Solomon, where two women had bore their own babies, and one of them by mistake laid upon one and it suffocated and died, and decided to play a trickery on the mother whose baby was okay and challenge her to take her baby as her own. And as they went before King Solomon, King Solomon being as wise as he was, said, I'll easily solve this problem. And in his heart, I know, he said, I'll find out who the real mother is. He said, well, If you're saying that this baby is yours and you're saying that this baby is yours, then I think both of you deserve a part of this baby. Why don't we just cut the baby in half and give you each a part? And immediately the real mother said, no, don't hurt the baby. Let her keep him. And immediately the king knew who was the mother of that child. She loved him as to not hurt him. We have the mother of James and John in Scripture who loved her boy so much that she took the time and the audacity, if you will, to stand before Christ and ask for permission that both her sons would sit at the right and left of him at the king's supper table. On and on we have stories of great mothers, unforgettable moms in Scripture. I realize that not only this Mother's Day and this Mother's Day, but maybe previous Mother's Day, it's been difficult for some of us to celebrate. While many are celebrating the presence of their mother and buying her gifts and serenading her because of how wonderful she is, some of us here in this place, for other reasons, maybe feel the weight of the loss. Maybe your mom is not here anymore to celebrate her. Some of us ladies here on Mother's Day may be sorrow-filled for other reasons. Maybe during your having family may have lost a child that to this day still the birthing pangs of that child still ail you because of the terrific and most powerful loss. And so on Mother's Day, it's rebirthed deep inside of you. Other moms here might be feeling the pain of a wayward son. While you may have moms all over the world sitting with their children and having a good time with them, maybe you have a son, a daughter who has not come home, and your heart aches on this Mother's Day. And some of us ladies here may suffer the pain of wanting to be a mom, but for whatever reason, it's not been God's will for you to bear that child. Whatever the circumstance may be that you find yourself this morning, I want all of our ladies here to know that God loves you. I said that God loves you and He cares for you. That God never forgets you. There's not a single moment in time that He ignores your whereabouts and your needs, your pains, your sorrows, and even, yes, your joys. You are unforgettable to Him. In the Scriptures, we have testimonies of moms who lost children, abandoned by husbands, suffered the pain of being barren, women who were demeaned socially, women suffering the pain of having a wayward child even, and all the things that I just previously mentioned. In the Bible, you will find a mom that will fit almost any circumstance we could ever derive to this morning. And it's easy for us to get involved in their pain. I could have picked out 20, 30 women in Scripture who have gone to some sort of pain. And we could have talked about that pain today. But I choose rather not to simply ignore it, but I choose rather to focus on how many of those women who suffered such pains in life went on to make motherhood a success and lived out to be truly unforgettable women in the eyes of the Lord. Women that learned to overcome, women who were able to celebrate victory, enjoy the joy of victory even after the most horrific storm in their lives, and somehow find the key that would ultimately cause them to succeed, regardless of what position they were in. Women who did not shrink back. Women who did not turn around. Women who were not quick to change their minds. but were decisive in their every move as they moved in their walk with God. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 38, but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It goes on to say, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. That's the kind of ladies that God is looking for. Every lady in the house, would you place your hand over your heart as we pray? Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for every mom. I thank you for allowing us to come into this place to worship you, to praise your holy name. I thank you that in the mix of voices, Lord, we hear the voices of women calling you, Lord, and serenading you from their hearts, Lord, for the good God that you are in their lives. Father, we trust today that they would be reminded, Father, that regardless of the situations, Father, still they can decide to live victorious lives. For they are never, Father God, forgotten by you. And for this, we give you thanks this morning. Amen. It's no easy thing being a mom. It never has been, and it never will be. But again, I say to you, there have been many, many upon many who have made motherhood a success. And because they have made their motherhood a success, we have had, all of us, a better future in this world. Because of their undying will of staying wrecked before the Lord. And they've taken the challenge to stand against the odds with sons and daughters and husbands. Every single one of us today can enjoy a better today and have great hope for a better tomorrow. I'd like to simply give you three examples this morning of three women that we can learn from, all of us, both men and women this morning, that will make you unforgettable in the eyes and the heart of God. There are things in the characters of women that God really pays attention to. There are things that God looks at when he looks at a mom, when he looks at a man, when he looks at us. There's a level, there's a place in our hearts that God always looks for that will bring him great pleasure. That is, God will always look at the measure of your hope in God. God will always look to find out how much you trust him. One of the most notable things that we can find in a mother, not only back then, but today, a mother who's going to succeed in life, is to see how filled her heart is with unrelenting hope for the Lord. Now, these are women whose hope in the Lord, for whatever it is they were petitioning for, they stood strong. They never ceased or wavered regardless of what they witnessed around them. One of the prime examples, and we speak of her often from this pulpit, is Sarah, the mother of Isaac. We know her story and we know how Isaac came about her life. But there was great faith in that woman when God spoke to her concerning that covenant child that she knew in her own heart she could not have. Hebrews chapter 11 says this: faith is defined as the assurance of things hoped for. Sarah took a look at herself, and there was nothing she could find in her that could assure her that whatever was spoken to her would come to pass. She looked with her eyes, but she had hope in her heart. We have in this scripture the story of this woman, and I must mention older in age woman. She is given to us as an example right after Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. What this means that Sarah had great hope in the Lord as she looked away from herself and her own abilities, her own barrenness, her age. And she believed that God's word for her life was true. It didn't come easy. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, not only for men and women, but faith isn't always easy. Sometimes we are overcast by what we see. You think Sarah could not look at herself in the reflection of a pond, or if she by some chance had some kind of reflecting mirror and saw that she was well past bearing age? You think she could not see her hands and the trails of the years that she had lived, and then to speak of giving life to something? This is why the Word of God always commands us to diminish the power of our sight and learn to depend on the faith that we have in God. Because not everything that we see is going to encourage us to believe more in Him. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you'd rather not look at the problem, because if you do, you know you're going to be disappointed. And so the Lord commands us to not look at the problem, but to always remember the promise. And that was Sarah. The Bible says that she laughed when she received this message. This time next year, Sarah is going to bear you a son. And though she was listening, as most ladies do, as the men talked outside, she was washing dishes, but yet she stopped washing dishes and turned the faucet off. And she heard of that ridiculous promise that God made, and she laughed. But God heard her laugh. He came and He spoke to her, and He reminded her once again and said to her, "Is there anything impossible for the Lord?" Ladies, I want you to remember this morning in this simple principle that I give you, that there is nothing impossible for the Lord. Nothing that you have been petitioning for. Nothing you have been crying out for, nothing you've been waiting for, that is impossible for the Lord. In the life of Sarah, we see it proven. The Bible says that after the time she conceived that boy, and when she had that baby boy, and we find in Genesis 21, after the birth of this young man, she says, "God has made me to laugh." It was a different kind of laugh. It wasn't a mocking laugh like, "Ha, absolutely, for sure. Sure, what a joke, me have a baby." But when the promise came, she said, she cried in laughter. She said, "Yes, I had a baby." The promises of God will always bring you joy. She gives glory to God, as all of us should. She restored Sarah's faith when He told her, "Is there anything impossible for the Lord?" So this morning, for every lady in this house, we need to focus on the promise and never the problem. Remember the sovereign power of the Lord that rules in your life. He not only rules in your life, but both heaven and in earth. Amen? Regardless of the darkness, yes, regardless of the darkness. And it's not easy, as I say. Sometimes you have to remind yourself. I keep remembering David out in the fields taking care of that flock for his father. He gives us testimony of how many battles he had out there, not only with the wild animals, but I'm sure with his own emotions and the loneliness at night. All these things that he could have easily gone through that you and I would experience as well in the middle of some desert plain. But you hear him speak to himself and say, "Oh, why are you downcast, oh my soul? Hope in the Lord, for I will forever praise Him." Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen and sisters, I want you to know, I know that during that desert time, pulpits are hard to find to hear an encouraging word. Encouraging sermons are hard to find. Churches are hard to find. Friends are hard to find. Support sometimes is hard to find. Friends who will help you and sit with you during your difficult times are hard to find. Someone to lay hands on you are hard to find. Someone to speak a kind, encouraging word to you are hard to find. But as we grow in the Lord, we learn to preach to ourselves. How many know that's a sign of maturity? Has anybody ever preached to yourself? Has anybody ever spoken to yourself and said, hey, stop it. You're a believer. Who have you trusted? What are you talking about? You're rehearsing all this negativity in your mind. Hush. Be still within me. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And lay your hands upon your own head. Hope in the Lord, for we will forever praise Him. The level of trust and hope in the Lord means a lot, ladies and gentlemen. It means a lot. God will always look at that gauge in your life. The second thing this morning is the measure of her commitment. How determined she is to stay in God. How determined she is in walking with the Lord. Now, having commitment is altogether different than simply making a decision. You've heard it from this pulpit. Will anybody decide for Jesus? And we see the hands of people deciding and choosing Jesus. We make altar calls and we see 10, 15 people come to the altar because they chose Jesus. You've seen that, amen? But you see, choosing Jesus and committing to Jesus are two totally different things. There have been millions upon millions of people who have come to the altars such as this and having chosen Jesus. But I'll say that equally amount as many will go back to their pews and leave the church never committing to Jesus. Do you understand the difference between choosing and commitment? Let me explain it to you as simple as I can. This afternoon after this service, if I will just hurry up, you men will take your wives to lunch. And the women said, and not Burger King. We're talking to steak houses. We're talking to good places. Papa Do's is still kind of there. And the women applaud. But you'll go to that restaurant, and this may happen, because it happens often. You may see the menu, both of you, and you'll look at your menu. You see, I think I'm going to have this 16-ounce T-bone. And the husbands go, what? I think I'm going to have this particular dish here, and I want it with this, this, and the other. And you call the one who is helping you, the gentleman or lady who's helping you, say, this is what I want, and you choose. But how many times has it happened to us that when they're gone, after 5 minutes, you go like, you know what? I should have told them to bring me mac and cheese. Come on, you've done that. And so what do? Sir, did you already place the order? Yeah, could you change it instead of the okra, make it mac and cheese? Yes, ma'am. And he turns around and that's choosing. You can change a choice anytime. Commitment is completely different. Commitment is completely different. Let me explain it to you this way. If for a pilot who flies an airplane, he may choose to fly a plane. He may choose what plane to fly. And he'll go get in that cockpit, light up that cockpit, turn it on, that plane, and he'll take off down the runway. When he's far enough, there's a particular measuring line. He has a choice. And that choice that he made, still, he is in control. He can choose to stop. But if he goes beyond this measured line and the speed he has arrived, and he crosses three quarters of that airstrip, the choice is over. Now he is committed. Now he has to be committed to get that plane in the air, or he will perish. That's the difference between choice and commitment. Webster's Dictionary defines commitment as a decision or a choice that cannot be recalled. This is what God is looking for. Not for someone who will choose him, but someone who will commit to him. Somebody say amen. I think that one of the biggest problems we have in this world and even in the church is that we have a lot of people who have chosen Jesus. In this world, we have millions of people, more that are in the church, that have chosen Jesus. But we have that many less who have ever committed to the Lord. God is looking for women. God is looking for a mother who knows as if she's too far down the runway to change her mind. That she's already committed. Not only she may have begun with a simple choice when she came up to the altar and said, I choose Jesus. But she's been walking with God and gone through certain things in life and enough things in life to say, you know, I'm too deep now. There is no turning back. Jesus is the prime example of true commitment. You find him on the Mount of Olives in John 12 and 27. When he says, now my heart is troubled, what shall I say? What shall I say? What shall my choice be? Father, save me from this hour. He said, no, I'm too far down the runway. This is for the very reason for which I came. This hour is the very reason I came committed to do what I'm going to do. There is no turning back. Yes, he asked the Lord, if you are willing to take this cup from me, fine. But nevertheless, in my heart, I'm here to do your will and your will alone. That, ladies and gentlemen, is commitment. Not simply choosing. What makes a lady, a mother, unforgettable in the eyes of God is the level of her commitment to the Lord. If you've chosen God, mature that choosing to a level of commitment. There is no turning back. No walking out on God. You may know somebody in this place, maybe a friend that at one time was on fire for the Lord, but today walks no more. They had chosen Jesus. I have friends of mine that over the years that I've been serving the Lord, I saw them choose Jesus. But sadly enough, I never saw them commit to Jesus. Let's be unforgettable to the Lord. Let's learn to commit to the Lord in every area of our lives. And in closing this morning, what will make you unforgettable in the eyes of the Lord doesn't always have to do with you, but many times with those who are around you. The measure of the love given by those around her. Now, this particular last principle, as I finish this morning, has nothing to do with mom, but has everything to do with husbands and children. This last key has nothing to do with her, but with husbands, wives, and children. The pricelessness of a mom, as spoken to us in the book of Proverbs, isn't always acquired by her own actions, though we find this particular woman we've spoken about many times out of the book of Proverbs, that she had many wonderful attributes to her life. But it wasn't always that, and it isn't always that even today, because many instances, her value, the Bible teaches us, is not given to her by something she did, but by what those around her offered her. The Bible tells us that we should love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And I know that it's easy to look at someone and even a mom and say, you're a woman of many mistakes. And I think that everyone, not only moms and dads, know that not one person will ever be capable of pleasing the world and get all things right, whether in character or in deed. But this is where the love of those around us comes into play. I began this message this morning by saying that being a mother isn't easy. It's an appointment that isn't easily fulfilled. And again, I say to you, it's a known fact that many have run from this position of being moms and said, I don't want to be a mom anymore. And they run. They'll leave family and husband. But still many more others have stuck it out in spite of the many mistakes even that they have made. This is where God expects you and me, children, you and me, husbands, to step in. Proverbs 31 and 10 speaks of that very popular and unforgettable woman that we always talk about in Mother's Day. And it says of her, a wife of noble character who can find. Even here in this passage, we see the difficulty of finding a perfect woman. Do you hear what he said? A wife of noble character who can find. It's almost an impossible treasure to find because it's difficult to be perfect in every way. And moms are not. She is far worth more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value and lacks nothing. See, one of the greatest ways that we as husbands can make a wife feel complete is by complimenting the efforts even through the mistakes. We're instructed in the Word of God to be encouraging to each other. It feels good to be encouraged, amen? Sometimes when you're down, and we say here, down in the dumps, it's good to be encouraged. You know, the world is already trying really hard to bring mothers down. Amen? They're already trying really hard to get people to completely disagree with motherhood. And so we step in to make them complete. And this particular passage doesn't only refer to husbands, but it speaks to us, the children, as well. Verse 28 of the same chapter says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Honor her and give her value is what the scriptures tells us. And don't do it just behind the confines of your homes, but do it in public. We often wonder many times why there's so much sadness. Simply because maybe we forget to encourage each other. It's not always easy to make someone feel important, but the effort must be made on behalf of all of us. This is what this morning is about. This is why we call it a Mother's Day service, because it's all about you. It's all trying to make you feel worth it, trying to bring you value. The world is trying so hard, and maybe your circumstances are trying so hard to completely diminish your heart and your joy. We're here this morning to encourage you, to tell you you are loved. We want you to be encouraged. You are unforgettable to God. And you are unforgettable to us. Again, I say to you, for some of us, we only think back of the time when mom was here. I can tell you that it's been about 11, 12 years now that my mother is not here. Those of you knew her and loved her, and I could still look at that pew, and I know exactly which one where she sit every Sunday morning. But those of you that have your mom now, remind her how loved she is. Give her praise. Give her place. Children, love your moms. Husbands, do the same.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.